This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batts with Patrick O'Donnell. His book, Dog Company, The Boys of Pointe du Hoc, the Rangers who accomplished D-Day's toughest mission and led the way across Europe. It is 6th of June, sometime around between 7:20 and 8 o'clock in the morning. The landing craft are all coming into Omaha and Utah at this point. Also, there's the British and Canadian and French forces landing further to the west. However, all of that is vulnerable to those German guns at the top, and they must be destroyed. The assault is led by Assault Team A, Dog, Easy, and Fox. They've been training for this, and they have a machine that is new to assault forces anywhere. I don't know that they needed it before. It's a grapnel hook fired by a rocket. Patrick, my memory of your detail is that it was to be launched from the landing craft. Is that correct, or did they carry them to the shoreline?
Most of them were launched from the landing craft, and it was a rocket-propelled grapnel, as you mentioned, which shot the rope up. But this was a tenuous situation. Most of these ropes were literally wet from the seawater on the land as they were coming in the landing craft, because from the top of the cliff, the Germans were, using mortar rounds and hand grenades, potato masher hand grenades, and things were, there was a lot of chaos in the landing area, and it was very rough and tumultuous. So these men, they fire the grapnels, and they start to climb up the cliffs. And the part of the cliff face is the shore bombardment, as well as the bombardment from the bombers, had collapsed part of the cliff, which made it difficult, but also in some cases a little bit easier to climb. But they still had to go up this cliff against machine gun fire from MG-42s, which could fire an astounding rate of almost 1,500 rounds per minute when they were fully operational. And the Germans were feeding belt after belt into their machine guns. They were lobbing hand grenades as the Rangers were scaling the cliff. And this is really, truly one of the most extraordinary stories of World War II. And like many of my books, the story rests upon the individual or the individual combat soldier, which works on his own initiative. And an individual can literally change the course of invasion. And that's certainly the case with my main character in this book, Master Sergeant Len Lamel, who's scaling the cliff at this time. And Len is shot through the side by an MG-42 bullet. And, he goes into the shell hole as he goes out the ramp of the landing craft, climbs the rope, he's shot in the side with an MG-42 bullet, and he continues to scale the cliff, makes their way to the top. And the top of Pointe du Hoc is like the surface of the moon. There's so much ordnance that was thrown on there from the bombers, from the shore bombardment, from the ships, that everything is cratered. Many of the bunkers up there, and you can see this to this day, are collapsed and massive structures that are heavily damaged. And this, in some ways, it benefits the defenders up there. They're able to use this rubble and wreckage to their advantage. And the Rangers have to fight through this maze, this fortress on top, effectively, which is, there's also a 37 millimeter cannon. It's part of an anti-aircraft defense for the point that is, fully operational, and they're firing upon the Rangers. And the Rangers literally have to fight through this maze up top of the point. And the defenders are using the underground labyrinth of tunnels and bunkers to their advantage as they fight the Rangers. And Lamel gets to the casement that he is assigned to, and he finds a telephone pole in place of the guns in the casement. And this is the case with all the casements. The Germans knew the point was going to get plastered, so they took the guns and moved them from the most obvious place, which is casements, to an apple orchard, and they put nets over the guns to hide them. And Lamel then goes to, all of these men are trained for the objective. They're not, they don't have to rely on orders They know what to do. And this is something that's very important with American combat personnel in World War II and even to this day. They're trained for the mission, and they're trained to basically, you know, go towards that objective without orders or whatever, and improvise if necessary. And Lamel looks on the ground and he finds tire tracks for the guns and starts following them. And literally he and his close friend, Sergeant Jack Kuhn, follow these tire tracks, and they have to fight through a series of bunkers that are along the way, and they make their way towards the orchard, and they make their way towards where the guns are hidden and located.
And they begin the idea, the motion of destroying the guns. I want to include one other team that's going to come in several days later. Who is Slater, and what happens to his boat?
This is the focus of my book is Dog Company. It's effectively a band of brothers on the Rangers in their story. And Dog Company accomplishes the mission of Point de Hoc with half of its personnel, roughly, because from the start, the boat that Slater and the company commander and the executive officer are in is hit by a near miss from a shell, and it capsizes the entire boat. And these men are forced to somehow swim in the rough seas and waters of the channel. And many of them die and perish in those cold waters, including one of the men that miraculously survived a fall from a 300-foot cliff during training, Rondo, who... one of my other main characters, Ruggiero, who is a very good friend of mine, who is a fire chief up in Massachusetts, who is a tap dancer. He's 5'3", one of the shortest or smallest Rangers there. He had a life belt that was defective, and he talked to Lamel about it right before the invasion. Said, get rid of it, get a new one, throw it out the window of the port window of the ship. And Rondo stopped him and said, I need my belt. I lost mine. And he said, no, you really need to get a new one. But he put the defective belt on, and he tried to use it that day on D-Day and, you know, very unfortunately perished even after surviving a 300-foot fall from a cliff months earlier. Boat is capsized, and they don't come into play on D-Day.
Right, but that team will be important to reinforce in coming days. Now, a detail here. They get to the top. The top, if you visit it today, which I recommend to everyone, you'll see that there are trench lines and reinforced bunkers and communication trenches leading this way and that way, similar to World War I. In that instance, you can move between strong points without exposing yourself. There are shell holes everywhere. There is particularly one gun, an anti-aircraft gun, a 37mm, that has not been taken and plays across the landscape for the rest of that day and keeps their heads down. So they're operating under fire all the time. Do I describe that correctly, Patrick?
Absolutely, John. I mean, the Germans are still in force on top of Point de Hoc, and they're very well armed. They still have plenty of ammunition. They're holed up in these bunkers, and they're fighting the Rangers tooth and nail on top of the point. And it's Lamel and Kuhn and others that break out from the casements, and they might make their way towards it's Lamel and Kuhn that make their way really towards that apple orchard. And each of these men are armed with what's known as a thermite grenade. And the thermite is, it basically heats up at a very, very high temperature, creates a molten like lava, almost like substance. And Lamel finds the guns, and remarkably, the crews of those guns are assembled, and they're listening to an officer giving them orders. It's unknown what they were, but as the guns were literally unprotected for a few minutes, and it's here that Lamel takes these thermite grenades and places them on the gears of the guns and literally welds or molds the molten lava from the grenades, renders them inoperable. And this is, they accomplish the mission. It's really two men, really one man that accomplishes the mission of the entire initial force, which is a remarkable thing. It's something that these bombers, you know, hundreds of bombers couldn't accomplish it. The shore bombardment of the heavy guns of the Texas and other ships couldn't accomplish. The single individual is able to change or shape the course of the invasion through his own efforts. And he's wounded as well.
It's the evening of June 6th. Dog, Easy, and Fox Company are now displayed across Pont d'Oc. The Germans continue to fire at them. The guns are destroyed, and they're waiting for their reinforcements. Remember, Force C, which has now broken through off of Omaha and made the first effort into France, is not available. The orders finally come through, hold until relieved. And when we come back, that's going to mean several days without reinforcements, and the German counterattack is ferocious. Patrick K. O'Donnell, he is the author of Dog Company, The Boys of Pointe d'Oc, The Rangers Who Accomplished D-Day's Toughest Mission and Led the Way Across Europe. Now that they've accomplished it, they must survive. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.